Our Father God, we praise you that your word is imperishable, living and enduring. And we thank you that we have the privilege of hearing you speak clearly and directly to us in your word. Please enable Mike today to explain it clearly. And we ask that you would give us hearts and minds that are receptive to your word for your name's sake. Amen. Well, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 through to verse 25. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Submit yourselves, for the Lord's sake, to every authority instituted among men, whether to the king as the supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. Live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers. Fear God. Honor the king. Slaves, submit yourselves to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. For it is commendable if a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because he is conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls.
Thank you, William. Aliens. What comes to your mind when you try to define the word aliens? One definition that you would probably not apply is that you yourself are an alien. But that, according to this passage, according to Peter, is what you are if you're a Christian. And that is what all Christians indeed are. Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in this world. I must say what comes to my mind when I think of aliens is either a sort of green, slimy, sort of frog-like mutant from outer space, or not being an American when I go through the alien channel at JFK Airport in New York. I have been assured by my American friends over here that the British also call the Americans aliens. But in any event, it's a word which isn't terribly attractive, and it's a word that I personally don't really like myself being called. C.S. Lewis, however, put me right when I read one of his essays dealing with evolution. he explained how popular evolutionism believes that basically everything is changing, and changing for the good, and that sooner or later there will be another step forward in the evolution of man, and we'll be much better than we are at the moment. However, he pointed out that what the world does not realize is that this next giant step has already taken place. That instead of some sort of huge-headed, small-bodied being like the Mekon in The Eagle, when I was young, I read this magazine, and the enemy of Dan Dare was the Mekon with a huge head and a small body. And I think many people sort of feel that our brains are getting so big and our bodies will get small. That instead of that, there are even now new creatures covering the face of the planet. Those people, indeed, who have been born again. They've been born twice. They are indwelt by the spirit of the Creator himself. These people are new creations, different to the mass of humanity, with a different heart beating inside them, a different focus, and in reality belonging to a different world. They are indeed new creatures. If one goes back to the beginning of 1 Peter and reads verses 3 to 5 in chapter 1, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time." God the Creator has given us new birth through his Son, Jesus Christ, to all who believe in him, even though we have not seen him. And through faith, we are promised eternal citizenship in heaven, in God's kingdom, indeed in God's family. He is our Father, we are his children. These are really mind-blowing blessings. They're mind-blowing privileges, and they are the privileges of the alien, that we are in the kingdom of God, our Creator. We are in the family of God, our Creator. And we will be in heaven with him forever. And this is why Peter calls us aliens. We are very, very different. We are a new and different creature with a different focus, as I've said. You could say sight almost. And even a different home than the people of this world. Peter underlines it again in verse 23. "For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God." So we've heard the word of God, we've believed it, and we are born again by it, a new creature. Jesus himself says, "No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." So these new creatures, the focus is on Jesus, as we see from this passage, who, Son of God that he was, died on a cross for us, bearing away in himself our sins and our shame, that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds we have been healed. He was raised to eternal life with the Father himself in heaven. And he's bringing all of us, his new creations with him, to the land of joy. For he is the shepherd and overseer of our souls. Hebrews 12:2 writes, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of God." And in the first chapter of Peter again, verses 8 and 9, "Though you have not seen him, you love him. Even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls." Joy is a mark of an alien. In fact, that which surprised C.S. Lewis when he became a Christian and wrote Surprised by Joy. So as aliens in this world, we are not only different creatures with a different focus, focused on Jesus, but we have a different home. Heaven is our home. And our natures and our behavior become transformed as well. They become different as well. In verse 16 of chapter 1, God says, "Be holy as I am holy." And holiness means to be set apart. Again, it's that word of alienation. We are set apart from the world to be holy. Our character is to become like His character. And so we've seen during these talks some of the transformations in the alien's character that take place. A couple of weeks ago, Nick Margeson spoke of the changes that take place within the Christian family, of loving one another deeply in the family of God, brothers and sisters, overriding society, society's borders, overriding national boundaries, a worldwide fellowship of Christians. He also pointed out the mark of hungering for God's word desperately. God's word is our spiritual food without which we die. So as an alien, we need to feed on that food. We need to listen to His word. We need to learn His word. We need to grow in His word. That's why St. Helens here is such a wonderful blessing to Christians here in the city. We can come on Tuesdays. There are Christianity Explained courses. There is the partnership on Wednesday morning. There's a whole host of Bible studies going on here, feeding the alien with his food, which we need to have a desperate hunger for. So these are some of the transformations that take place within the Christian family. But now this week, we see some of the transformations that take place out in the world, in society, in the nations, and in the workplace where we as Christians are aliens. So we're going to look particularly at three marks of the alien from this passage today. Firstly, abstinence. Second, submission. And the third, doing good. Firstly, abstinence. We are to abstain from sinful desires. There is, according to verse 11, a war going on. And it seems to be an internal war in the hearts of these new creatures, a war between evil desires from the old nature and becoming holy and like Jesus in our new nature. Go back to chapter 1 again. Peter repeats it in verses 14 and 15. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as He who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. The word sinful here is better translated probably of the flesh, meaning worldly. Those desires common to man, not only sensual, but to do with our ingrained rebellion against our Maker, summed up by our pride and selfishness. These desires can show themselves in many forms: sexual lusts and perversions, greed, malice, deceit, hypocrisy, but also in just common or garden worldly ambitions. They are in all men, because all men have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But in those born again, the aliens, a heart conflict takes place. Indeed, that internal war is one of the marks that we are born again. All Christians experience it. And if you're not experiencing that internal war, if you're happy with the state of your heart, then it's highly unlikely that you are a Christian. So how do we abstain from these sinful desires which war against our souls in our hearts? Well, as aliens, we're in a different world. That's what we've said. We have a king whose name is Jesus. So we go to him. We look to Jesus. He's not a constitutional monarch, but he is the everlasting Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And he also was tempted. He has been here, and yet he did not sin. He's been in the war himself, and he's won. So when we go to the king, what does he do? He gives us armor to fight with. And if you look at Ephesians 6:10-18, there you have the armour of God that Christ gives his people. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armour of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armour of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm, then, with the belt of truth buckled round your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. So what does he give us? He gives us himself. He gives us the truth, which we know, the gospel. He gives us his righteousness through his cross. He gives us the gospel of peace, which we can proclaim in the world. He gives us our faith. He gives us our salvation. He's given us all these things which we can wear as armor. And he gives us two weapons. He gives us the word of God, and he gives us prayer. So daily, we Christians here in the city need to avail ourselves of all of these things. We need to walk in faith. We need to be righteous. We need to tell the truth which we know. We need to trust in our salvation, and we need to pray at home, in the office, in prayer triplets, in the churches, here. And we need to pray, help Lord, guard me today from evil and temptation, and especially from the evil desires that are within my own heart, and enable me to do good for your glory. And we need to know his word, through which we've been born again, as I've said, so that we grow to know and love Jesus and his will more and more. The more you know his word, the more you know his will, and the more you know him. And then we need to love and encourage each other, our brothers and sisters, to do likewise, which is why it's so important to be involved in the family of Christians here at St. Helens during the week when we are aliens in the city. And then, at the end, just do it. Abstain. Abstain from those lustful thoughts you might have. Abstain from hating that person in your family or in the office. Abstain from keeping on ignoring somebody who has needs. I think I've told a story before, but it's a very simple one. There was a young Christian who used to walk to the station every morning, and he used to go in and get the papers. And he was tempted every morning to just go to the magazine counter and get the girly magazines and look at them. And it troubled him. There was that war in his heart. And he went to a Christian brother who was more mature than him and told him. And the Christian brother very simply said, "Is there another way to the station?" And he said, "Yes." And he said, "It's as simple as that. Just go the other way to the station. And then you're not there, opposite the magazine counter." And sometimes it's as simple as that with those evil desires that within our own hearts. I mean, watch out for alcohol. What does alcohol do? The world says it lowers your inhibitions. But the Christian would say it does away with your self-control, which is, after all, a fruit of the Spirit. So watch out with alcohol. You don't drink too much because your self-control goes away, and then those evil desires can become dominant. So the first mark of the alien in the world is this internal spiritual warfare. But with the help of the overseer of our souls, we're able to abstain from evil and instead do good, and thereby bring glory to our God. Let's pray that we grow in our abstinence in the year ahead. And the second mark of being an alien in the world is submission. And submission, firstly, to the authorities and institutions of man. That's verses 13-17. As we obey the laws of the land, we pay our taxes, and we keep within reasonable distance of the speed limits, probably. For us, perhaps, it's not so difficult. It doesn't seem such a big issue as the Christians to whom Peter was writing, those suffering under Nero, whose life was great degradation and even death in the arena. Or indeed, many places in the world today, as a few of us that visited Romanian Christians when they were suffering under Ceausescu. And there you could clearly see Christians living out these verses, a close-knit, loving community, hungry for God's word, but they were denied jobs, their children were denied schools, they were often in prison, the churches were often bulldozed down, but all the time they witnessed, even to their enemies, and how God was glorified through them, and still is in many situations today around the world. But for us, the danger is perhaps more subtle. In a stable, peaceful society, which is, after all, what we should pray for from 1 Timothy, we are tempted to moderate our differences, focusing on this world and its affairs rather than on Jesus. We don't really want to be aliens. We want to be part of the crowd. We want to be one of the boys. It's not very nice being an alien in a society. So there is that large part of us that doesn't want to be. Here and now becomes more important than the world to come. But behind this point of submission is that this world, whether unjust, cruel and hard, or whether it's peaceful and stable like our own society, that we trust in God like Jesus on the cross, who trusted him who judges justly, God himself. We do not fight the authorities. Rather, we submit to them, even if we do not agree with them, and we do good, living as servants of God. Our primary focus is heaven. The world is secondary. If the world is primary, we're no longer aliens. It has become our home. But one caveat, submission to the world's authorities does not mean disobedience to God. Peter himself, in Act 5, clearly shows that when the authorities order Christians to disobey God, God is to be obeyed rather than men. He was told to stop teaching about Jesus, and he answered the Pharisees, "We must obey God rather than men." It's the same principle that applies in the book of Daniel, with Daniel and his friends in the time of Nebuchadnezzar and Darius. So again, we need to pray to our shepherd that we can happily submit to the institutions of our day while keeping our focus on him and doing good and obeying him. And the second area of submission extends from the institutions and governments of man to the authorities in the workplace. Now here is where we have a common thing here in the city. The word for slaves in Peter's letter rather denotes that of house servants, those people who sold their service to their masters for a period of time. It's not at all dissimilar to employers and employees today, although I would say probably here in the city we're more like real slaves than they were in those days. But for Christian aliens, the principle's the same. Submit, work hard, be honest, even if your bosses are lousy bosses, if they're cruel and unjust. Because this is how our King wants us to be. Our primary focus, our first focus is still on Jesus, still on the kingdom of heaven, and still on the cross as the means by which God has opened for us the door to heaven, but also as the supreme example of submissive suffering that we have. The King of us aliens, who told Pilate that his kingdom was not of this world, submitted himself even to death on a shameful human cross, a wooden cross, instituted by man and the authorities of man. But again, a warning here, and a serious warning. It's very easy for Christians to take a verse like verse 18, slaves, submit yourselves to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. It's very easy to take a verse like that and use it as an excuse for giving everything up to work, going in early, coming home late. We are submitting ourselves, surely. Surely we're following scripture, aren't we? And work demands it, and our bosses demands it. Surely we should submit to our boss. So we give our everything. We give our time. We give our talents. We give our enthusiasms. We give our energies. Even perhaps like the Israelites of the Old Testament, who sacrificed their children on the altar of Moloch. We give our wives and we give our children. And we use a verse like this as an excuse. But watch out, then work becomes an idol, and we become idolaters. No, work hard, be honest, fulfill your contract, but keep it as a secondary matter. Keep it in perspective. As aliens in this world, our primary focus is always on God and the joy of our eternal life to come. Remember, if work becomes primary, we're no longer aliens. We belong to the world. When I was flying to Santiago once, I sat next to a government advisor of the Chilean government, and we started talking about Christians. And he said, you know, there's a lot of activity in Chile. There's a lot of Bible-believing Christians, particularly in the poorer areas of Santiago. Missionaries have come in and little churches have started up. And he said, you know what? We've noticed a terrific difference to the economy. There's a whole section of Santiago that are now working hard and are honest. They're not corrupt. They're not subject to bribery. And I just thought that was a terrific example of these verses, of where Christians have followed these verses. They're working hard. They're being honest. And actually it brings glory to God throughout the whole of their society, even up to the highest government levels. So briefly and thirdly now, the transforming mark of an alien in the world is to do good. If you notice throughout these verses, while abstaining from evil desires in verse 12, we should live such good lives among the pagans and glorify God. While submitting to the authorities, we should do good, verse 15, for it is God's will. While submitting in the workplace and conscious of God, even if we suffer for doing good, it is commendable before God. And how do we do good? We look to Jesus. In all his life, he submitted and did good. He healed, he taught, he cared, he loved. He submitted himself even to death on the cross to bring the ultimate good of salvation for men. So we as God's royal priesthood, his holy nation, aliens in the world, in our offices in this year to come, we should do good, and we should do what the utmost good is. And that is to declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his wonderful light. So let us encourage each other to be gospel messengers, praying that we can do some good in the year ahead, using St. Helens, using the partnership, using the Christianity Explained courses, and all that's going on here to bring our colleagues into the ultimate good of the kingdom of heaven. So to conclude, don't forget that in the year ahead, you are an alien. You're not of this world, you are an alien. We're different creatures who have been born not once but twice with the Holy Spirit in our hearts in a completely different kingdom and a world other than this one. And that is where we belong and that is where our King is. So our focus at all times should be on God. It should be on our King, the King of the aliens, Jesus, whose royal people we are, and we follow him everywhere on earth, in all our relationships, being holy, abstaining from those worldly desires which war against our souls, submitting to the world's authorities, submitting to our bosses in the workplace, even if unjust, and doing good at all times, following Jesus, our King and Saviour, our Shepherd.